Today we have the joy and the privilege of recognizing and awarding certificates of diplomas to our graduates from our Bible Institute here at Foothills Baptist Church. And let me explain, this is a three-year course that takes the students through those 3 years through all 66 books of the Bible, so that they have an exposure and a greater understanding of God's Word and the continuity of God's Word. Along with that, all the major Bible doctrines are taught as well. And we have three graduates today that we are going to be able to award their certificates of graduation. This training equips the students, as I said, with a broad understanding of God's Word, for the basic purpose that they may know the Lord their Savior in a better way and more effectively serve the Lord their God. And so this morning I want to give a charge from God's Word in moving forward for our graduates and to each one that is present this morning. I'm going to read just one verse this morning. That's a little unique compared to what I normally do. But the theme of my message comes from Philippians 4, verse 19. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, I invite you to do so. Philippians 4 and verse 9. Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Father, we come to you this morning. And as we consider this milestone in the lives of our graduates, and also in the importance of what this means to us as a church family and to each one of us individually, Lord, I pray that you would take this message and use it to challenge each heart here today, to help the believers to grow. If there is one here without Christ as their Savior, Father, I pray that they would be challenged and convicted of their need. And then, Father, I ask that you would use me as your servant to declare your glorious truths. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. I want to give three simple truths from this passage that I believe are important in moving forward for every believer, but especially for our three graduates this morning. And the first simple truth is, be a perpetual student of the Word of God. Just because you have now finished 3 years of studying through God's Word does not mean that we know everything and we've been there, done that. The Word of God should be a treasure and a jewel to be studied on an ongoing basis in your life. Paul reminded Timothy, who was an aspiring young pastor and was mentored by Paul. Paul reminded Timothy that it was the Word of God that made him wise unto salvation through faith. And so never forget that it was the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God that makes each and every individual wise unto salvation. And cherish that in your own life as a believer, but also cherish that fact as you study. And I trust that you have a burden for others who are lost and will study the Word of God in one of the ways that you study, in learning more of the Word of God to be able to share it with others that need salvation. Because it is the Word of God that has the power to make one wise unto salvation. We have what we call the Romans Road that frequently is used in sharing the gospel. There are some other verses that are widely used, such as from the Gospel of John and Ephesians and Titus and other places in God's Word. And everybody needs to hear the same message. But not everybody has some of the same questions. And so it is crucial to study the Word of God to help answer some of the questions that they have that might be hindering them in putting their faith in Jesus Christ. One of the things that I still aspire to and want to study is how to take the Old Testament and show from the Old Testament to a Jewish unbeliever that Jesus Christ is indeed the promised Messiah and the Savior. Do you understand that in all of Paul's preaching, early in Acts and in most of Acts, it all came from the Old Testament? Because the New Testament had not yet been written or completed. And when Philip sat with the Ethiopian eunuch in his chariot, he was going through the Old Testament to demonstrate that Jesus is indeed the Christ and for him to put his faith in Jesus Christ. When Peter spoke with Cornelius, he used the Old Testament. When Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost, that great and dynamic preaching and revival where thousands were saved, it was all entirely from the Old Testament. And so understand there is much to be studied and much to be learned for the ability to more effectively reach the lost for Jesus Christ. Not only is it God not willing that any should perish, but do understand that each one that is without Christ, if they were to die in a blink of an eye, they would enter an eternity hell, a Christless eternity. And my friend, how could you walk past a house that is starting on fire and knowing somebody is in there without wanting and trying to do something to deliver them out of the fire? That can only kill the body. But my friend, unbelief in Jesus Christ puts them already under condemnation and into an eternal burning fire. Oh, that we would study the Word of God to become more effectual in witnessing for Jesus Christ. Then Paul said to Timothy a little later, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The first statement that Paul made to Timothy was how we become a Christian. This is how to be a Christian. How to live. How to be a workman for Jesus Christ that needeth not to be ashamed. You see, there's still right and wrong. There's still things that please God and there's still things that displease God. And you will discover each one in the Word of God and know how to live. I was just thinking about that idea of a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Do understand, there are a multitude of those who profess to be Christians and even serve in a variety of ministries that are disobedient to God in many ways. And they show absolutely no shame of who they are, what they're doing, and how they're doing it. The reality is, when it talks about that needeth not be ashamed, we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ if they are truly a believer. John said that we can stand before Christ with confidence and not shame. And those who are a workman in the name of Christ that are bringing and living a reproach for Jesus Christ, if they never feel shame in mortal life, they will stand before Christ with shame and not confidence. And so study the Word of God to know how to be a workman that pleases God, that need not be ashamed. Psalm 19:11, it talks about the Word of God to be more desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. I fear that if we had two choices, one had gold and the other had the Word of God, the majority of the people would choose the gold and forsake the Word of God. Those people would be eternally impoverished. To demonstrate how much you cherish God's Word would be demonstrated by choosing God's Word, as the psalmist says, over gold. Because All the gold in the world will never buy you eternal life. And it can never buy you real peace in your heart. It can spiritually impoverish you in wealth. Isn't it amazing how many wealthy people commit suicide? They have discovered that on all of their wealth and in all of their fame, it simply does not satisfy nor bring joy. And so it is greater than gold. Study the Word. Be a student. Spend regular personal time of reading and studying. You will never exhaust the treasure trove that is contained within God's Word. Living here in Colorado, if you go into the mountains and take the Rockies and go up into Wyoming and some of the foothills in both states and probably south, you will find a host of abandoned mines. And the reason being is because either the gold, the silver, or whatever it was they were trying to get out of there ran out, or after digging and digging and digging, they found nothing, and so they abandoned. I remember there was a time several years ago that I was working with another contractor and managing some crews, and we were going through Wyoming, working for the federal government, contracts with the federal government, closing up some old mines so people couldn't fall and stumble into those. One of those mines was a copper mine there around Encampment, Wyoming, and it had a shaft that went down about 100 feet, and then it had some runs that went from underneath there. They said that it was Jesse's mine, and they said Jesse and a slave were down at the bottom of that mine. They had been working. They didn't shore it up well enough. It caved in and killed them down there. And here in the middle of open space was this open hole, nothing preventing people from walking in and falling in. Well, you might find bits and pieces of copper around there, but basically the mine was of no value. We closed up a coal shaft mine where it kind of went diagonally down into the ground south of Medicine Bow. And we had to close that up so people wouldn't go down to their own harm. But it ran out of coal. There was nothing there. You could find around there the collapsing of all of the buildings that were centered around. They had all collapsed clear to the ground. And I remember walking through those ruins and finding the guts of an old piano, the soundboard or the tuning metal guts that would go to that, where all of the strings would have been attached to, and that. And they had a Chinese labor camp there as well. And just tried to envision what took place years ago. But do you know what? It's gone because it's empty. My friend, you can study the Word of God day after day and never exhaust its gold, its silver, its jewels of biblical truth. I have been a student of God's Word for many, many years now. And over and over, when I am able to sit down and uninterrupted, and sometimes that's a treasure in itself, but uninterrupted and being able to study God's Word, I do not know how many times that I sit back and I just marvel over what I have learned from God's Word and how fabulously it all fits together and how it pictures a marvelous God. And so never cease to marvel over what you'll study. And let me say this, never cease to marvel over the simple truths. For God so loved the world, God loved me. The little song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The more I read the Bible, and the more I understand my holy God and who He is, the more I understand the sinful self and who I am. And the greater the marvel that God would love a sinner such as me and send his only begotten Son to lay his life down to pay my sin penalty and offer full and free eternal life as a gift that is received by faith. My friend, I'll never get over Jesus loves me. You can go to numerous of the simple truths that you will find in God's Word. Never get over those simple truths. Because if for a moment in your life, God ever stopped loving you, life would be horrible and miserable. And so never cease to marvel over the simple truths. Never cease to hunger for the meat and some of the difficult truths and those that you have to dig and cross-reference and search out. Because those will again magnify the unity of God and the perfection of God and the work of God and who God is. And it will expand your marvel of our God. What a wonderful thing it is. Be faithful to the assembling of the local church for the preaching of God's Word. God ordained the local church, and I'll come back to that in a minute. God ordained the preaching by the preacher of the Word of God to exhort, to challenge, to instruct, to edify. He says it is also to reprove and to rebuke. Do understand, all of us need a little reproving every now and then. And our spiritual maturity is demonstrated by how we respond to biblical reproof. All of us need a little bit of rebuking now and then. And our real spiritual maturity is demonstrated in how we respond to biblical rebuke. And the preaching is there to instruct in righteousness, so that every believer can be truly furnished unto every good work. Let me come back and speak to our young people. Being reproved and being rebuked or being corrected are hard things to experience. The rebel in each one of us and the pride in each one of us resist that with great intensity. God has given you parents, and each of you that are here today have Christian parents. Christian parents are not perfect, but Christian parents should have a desire to want to walk with God. And their desire in correction, in reproof, and rebuke is to equip you to be truly furnished unto every good or godly work. Learn how to respond to reproof, rebuke, and correction with a godly heart. And learn quickly in your youth, because it will serve you well the rest of your life. Because many times when we become adults of any age, we take that disposition of rejecting it in our youth into our adulthood. And when a godly friend comes along, and when a godly pastor comes along and tries to reprove or rebuke or correct a wrong direction that may be in our life, pride and the rebel spirit gets in the way, and we do not respond to it, and we move further away from living as God would have us to live. Now, I'm not talking about those people who think they are God's gift of correction and reprimand for everybody, that need to go back and take not only the timber out of their eye, but maybe the whole forest out of their eye. I'm talking about those who love God, and because they love God, they love you. And they care. And so search the Scriptures. Be diligent and faithful to the assembling of the church for the preaching of the word. Along with this, be guarded. I said, be guarded. Say that with me. Be guarded. I caught you off guard because I normally don't do that. Let's say it again. Be guarded in your studies. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And verse 27. Here we have Proverbs by Solomon saying, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Do you know what? He gives a guard. And this is to young people and young adults, but it is a wise caution for every person to cease listening to instruction that will cause you to err from the Word of God. We live in a generation where that is easier than in any other generation. People who live almost to themselves now have access to the world and every book and every internet and every speaker and every religion and every form of apostasy and every form of false doctrine at the touch of their computer or their phone or their tablet. And we have to be careful. You see, trash in, the old saying goes, trash out. Apostasy in, apostasy out. Compromise in, compromise out. I could probably have an ongoing list, and I'm talking about preachers that I have known who have read books of men that have gone down the road of compromise and apostasy. And they write their books and disseminate it to others and entice others into their life and ministry of compromise. I do not know how many preachers that I know that started out as fundamental, Bible-believing, committed, godly, sin-hating, righteous-loving preachers that have abandoned that over a period of time, and it's all in the root of the authors and the books that they have read. And it dynamically changed their ministry, and it changed their thinking, and it changed their life. And what you believe will determine how you behave. And so be very guarded in the books that you read and the authors that you read. Be very guarded on the internet preaching and the internet things that you can get there. You can get some marvelous stuff there. But be very guarded of what you will get from the internet. Be very guarded of the TV preachers. And as I'm preaching, I'll be on TV with this very message. But be very guarded with the charisma and the persuasiveness of TV and radio personalities. Because it will lead you astray. Multitudes of professing Christians have been deceived in what salvation is and in what a walk with God is supposed to be like. Never forget, God has ordained the local church to be your fortress of faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church, that's the assembly of the believers, of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The local church has the custodianship of biblical truth. Be faithful to your church. You know what? Some talk about, well, why should I be faithful to the church? Christ died for it. If it was that important to Christ, we ought to see it as important. Never forget God has given pastors to watch over you with accountability before God. In Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And within the context, this is talking about the pastors of the local church. Verse 7, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." It's the preacher's responsibility to teach and preach the word of God and then live it as an example to follow. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Now, do understand, you need to have personal Bible study and be saturated in the Word of God so you know when the pastor abandons following the Word of God so you don't follow him off the cliff. This is not talking about blind fellowship. This is talking about a responsibility leadership and a responsibility of following that is always balanced by the Word of God and determined by the Word of God what's right and wrong. Then in verse 17, it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you." My friend, as a preacher, and this is one of the things that has been a driving force of my thinking in the ministry. Everything I say, and in every second of how I lead this church, and every word I preach and influence that I have, I must give an account to God, whether it is right or whether it is wrong. And I take that very serious. It is not simply about building a big crowd, and we're going to work and let the Lord help us build a large gathering by the grace of God. But it's not simply about that. It's about being obedient to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why should we be so guarded? Because in many ways you become the sum of your influences. So let the purity of God's word dictate the influence in your life. Be a perpetual student of the word of God so that you may know the Lord your God. Philippians 3:10, Paul said, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." You see, everything we know about God comes from the Bible. That's been a statement I've made many times over the course of my ministry, but it's true. Everything we know about God comes from God's word. So study the word of God so that you may know God. We were created to know God and to fellowship with him. You find that in Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. Search the scriptures to understand the pristine holiness of God. Search the scriptures to understand his love, grace, and mercy. Search the scriptures so that you may understand and appreciate his righteous behavior and his justice. Search the scriptures so you can grasp his immutability. That means he never changes. Hebrews 13, and I think it's verse 8, it says that our God never changes. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And his faithfulness. Search the scriptures and study the scriptures so you know that you may cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you as an individual. Study the scriptures to know how he is working in your life and why. Romans 8:28 is not a simple cliche to pass off to somebody that's hurting, that all things work together for good. The fact is, all things do work together for good. But when it is simply rehearsed as a quote, it means little or nothing. I challenge you to study the Word of God and study the Scriptures so you can comprehend why it is for your good, how it will be for your good, so you'll know how God is working through you. 2 Corinthians 4:15 is the flip side of Romans 8:28, where it says that all things in our life can redound to the glory of God. Understand, even all of the bad things and whatever is happening in your life, no matter how bad, it is an opportunity for the servant of God to use that to glorify God in how you respond and how you behave. Search the scriptures so you can learn how to do that. study the scriptures to understand and receive and appreciate the fullness of His forgiveness. Everyone has to deal with sin in our lives. Some greater and more serious, some lesser. In God's eyes, it's all sin. And if you will study the scriptures and search the scriptures, you will understand and you will comprehend God's glorious forgiveness. I think one of the toughest things for anyone to have to go through life is carrying the burden of guilt. And understand that when God forgives, He removes it as far as the east is from the west. Now do understand that an omniscient God cannot forget. But an omniscient God can choose to never bring it up again. And that's what He does when He forgives. He removes it as far as the east is from the west. And many a times the devil will rehearse, "Oh, but you're bad because you did this." And then guilt begins to resurrect. Understand, the purpose of guilt is to bring you to God for confession and forgiveness. God never designed guilt in your conscience to destroy you. And the devil uses guilt to destroy your life. That's an unbiblical use. That's a wrong use. God always devised and designed guilt to bring you to Jesus Christ to confess your sin and to find His pure forgiveness with that. And then study the scriptures to know how God can give purpose and hope for life, no matter how bad it's been messed up in the past. Because you know what? Every one of us will mess up in life. No one lives perfect. No one has a sinless life. Now understand, that is not a green light to go and sin. In Romans 6, verse 1 and 2, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Echo, what does Paul say?
God forbid.
God forbid. Thank you for a strong answer. But it is an encouragement. And it shows how marvelous our God is. And my friend, the more you study God, and as you're a perpetual student, you will discover how God forgave those that messed up their life big time and gave them a new opportunity and used each of them in a marvelous and a unique way. Be a perpetual student of the Word of God so that you may have a daily, personal, intimate relationship with Him. Be a perpetual student of the Word of God so that you can be a godly servant. Coming back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, it talks about those things that you have learned and heard and seen. Do. Do. There's three aspects about the believer's life. Certainly it begins with salvation. But once we're saved, there's three things crucial. There's learning. Study to show thyself. There's being. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind and be not conformed to this world. Being and doing. There are people that put an emphasis upon learning and put all the emphasis upon becoming a scholar of God's Word. Now, certainly we should be avid students. And yes, maybe scholars of God's Word, but the problem is if that's our total focus, then pride and arrogance gets in the way and we become useless in God's hands. Some put all of the focus on being. And if we don't learn, then we're not sure how to be. But if we're all about being, then we don't do anything for which we were saved to do. And then there are those that are all about the focus of doing. And they don't put the right focus on learning. And they don't put the right focus on being so that we can be competent in what we do. And we do it God's way and for God's glory. And so all three must have a unique balance with it so that we may serve. We study the Word of God to know our God and to mold our lives and then to know how to serve our God. Christ is the great example in Matthew chapter 20, verse 27 and 28. He said, I came not to be ministered. The word ministered means served, but to minister. And the word minister is a synonym likewise for serve. If anybody deserved to come into this life and expect everybody to serve him, it was Jesus Christ, God the Son. He could have came and put on a royal robe, and even in the flesh, he could have said, hey, bow down here. Go get me another cup of coffee, please. Would you fix my bed? I think I'm ready to recline. But no. He did not come demanding service, but he came to serve. Now, certainly we are bought with a price, and it is he who we serve now. And he can rightfully expect that of us. But he showed the great example in his humanity of how we should serve. Paul spoke of serving as well. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, he says, Paul, a servant of Christ or a servant of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19, he talks about how not only was he a servant of God, but a servant that reached out and beyond. He said, for though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. So we see that Paul was a servant of Christ, and we all should be a servant of Christ because we were bought with a price. And we ought to desire and love the privilege of serving Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Paul was a servant of the church. He served the local assemblies. Everywhere he went, he was a servant to them. He was a servant leader, but he was a servant. And he ministered to their needs and taught them and helped them and worked with them. And so each one of us should be a servant to our local church. Again, remember the local church. Jesus Christ died for it, gave himself, Ephesians 5:25. We're living in an era where the importance and the significance of the local church is losing its biblical value. And it simply has become a place to attend when it's convenient. And it doesn't interfere with all the sporting activities and anything else in life or recreation. Whatever it is. The local church, Jesus Christ laid his life down for it. He has given us the local church for our protection, for our edification, for our fellowship, for our home base of serving. Paul was also a servant of individual believers and individual lost people. It was a ministry that he had. Serving must first have its focus upon Christ and then to others. Because if we put our focus upon others and then Christ, we get it backwards. And then the ways and the philosophies of the world start creeping into how we serve. We first serve Christ, and as servants of Christ, we serve others. And when we always see it that way, we serve God's way and not the way of the world. And when we're serving Christ and serving others, it diminishes our self-centered focus. Heard something this week. A veteran that had suffered from PTSD, and he was being interviewed on one of the news channels. And this was being discussed. And he was asked about PTSD. And he said, yes, he had been diagnosed with it, and there was a struggle, and he had to deal with it and a problem there. But he says it dynamically changed when he discovered that his father was diagnosed with cancer. And he said, I began forgetting about myself and serving and helping someone else. And his conclusion, one of the biggest problems of PTSD is self-centeredness. I have heard certain veterans say, well, it's not about me, it's not about me. When in reality, because they will not move forward, it is all about them. And even apart from the problem with military PTSD or any other civil event that brings trauma. If you continue to focus upon yourself, you will be the most miserable person in this world. If you will begin serving Christ and serving through the local church and serving others, you will discover the joy of the Lord begins creeping into your life, and your life will be dynamically changed. This is a tough thing. And one reason this is such a problem in our culture, particularly with our military veterans coming home, is because we have developed such a self-centered culture. And as we focus on ourselves, nobody will be happy that way. It is the fast track to misery. But if we would confess that and begin serving, do understand, we study the Word of God so that we may know God, that we may serve God and serve for Him. It will dynamically change your life. So to all our graduates and to each one that is here today, be a perpetual student of God's Word. It will make one wise unto salvation through faith, and it will reveal God to you and the roadmap for your life. Be a perpetual student of God's Word so that you may know God and have a real, personal, and intimate relationship with Him. And then be a perpetual student of God's Word so that you can become a godly servant of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in whatsoever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Father, we come to you this morning. Help each one of us to take heed to the biblical truths that have been presented in this message. And Father, I pray that where we fail in each or whatever area, that we would be quick to confess it to God, find your forgiveness, and begin to have our lives transformed more into the image of our Savior. And Father, I pray that through this church, that you could use us for the saving of souls. Many, many souls, and the teaching and the discipling and the equipping to serve of a multitude of believers. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.